Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter in your Schofield Bible, page 1268. Beginning with verse 13, we'll read through verse 20. And we'll read these verses responsively. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 20, page 1268. As we always do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And this is the text verse, verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And let's pray. Father, it's once more time for the preaching of the Word of God. There are those of us here who have heard hundreds and hundreds of sermons from this pulpit in this place, and we revel at the wonderful way in which you work through our preacher and in the hearts of thy people. You've prepared our preacher, and he has prepared for us. And we owe a great debt to thee. Now help us to discharge that debt in hearing carefully thy word as it's preached. Help it to be heard, received, acted upon, that we might be better people, better Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read, without your turning to it again, one scripture. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Here's my text. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Let me paraphrase that. It basically would say this. When Jesus comes, will you already have been in his presence? Of course, when he comes, we'll be in his presence. But what the Apostle Paul is asking the people at Thessalonica, are you living now in his presence so when he comes, you will already be in his presence at his coming? You see, the Apostle Paul thought that Jesus was going to come at any moment back yonder 2,000 years ago. He said, when he talked about the coming of Christ, he said, we which are alive and remain shall not go before or prevent or precede those which are asleep. Said, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Paul expected Jesus to come in his lifetime. And he's saying to these people of Thessalonica, he's saying, are you living with him? Are you in his presence? So when he does come, the only thing that you'll have that you didn't have was his physical presence. In other words, when he comes, will you already have been in his presence? The title of my message this morning is God's Favorite Time. God's favorite time. I could call it the presence of the Lord. I will not give you anything this morning that will help you make more money on your job. I'll not give you anything this morning that will make you a better preacher. You preacher boys, a better preacher someday. Yes, it will. But I'm giving you something this morning that will help God, and it will delight Him. But more than that, it will enrich your life in a way that nothing else can do. God's favorite time, or the presence of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that You'd help me as I speak. I'm talking to my soul 100 times more people today than I ever thought I'd talk to at one time when I first surrendered to preach the gospel. What a responsibility. If I just took the next 30 minutes and divided multiplied a half hour times the number of folks here, I'm talking about several thousand hours that I'm going to use up of human time. So I pray You'd help me to make it beneficial and profitable. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to use this little mic this morning. Turn the treble up, make it exactly like this one. In Genesis, turn the treble up and the bass down, please. We'll try it again. Good. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16, it says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? When he went out, was God over here and he walked away from God? What does it mean when it says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord? In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 20, it says that the Israelites, or Israel, the nation Israel, departed from the presence of the Lord. Now, here's an entire nation. We're talking about 2 or 3 million people. And it says they went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, what in the world could that mean when this entire nation went away? Was God dwelling over here and this nation just walk away and say, God? No, that's not what it means. Well, what does it mean? In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, Jonah had been called of God to go to Nineveh, that wicked city, and cry against its sins and preach the message of God that God gave him. And the Bible says that Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah went down to Joppa. Did God dwell over here and not in Joppa? No, God dwelt in Joppa too. He got a ship going to Tarshish. Does that mean that God dwelt in the Holy Land and didn't dwell over here in this Gentile place called Tarshish? No, God dwelt in Tarshish just as much as God dwelt over here. Well, then what does it mean when it says that Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord? In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 16, it says that Moses went from the presence of the Lord. Now, what in the world does that mean? The Israelites are in the wilderness, and it says that Moses went from the presence of the Lord. Again, in Psalm 51 and verse 11, David said to God, "Cast me not from thy presence." What does that mean? That means God's going to pick up David bodily and throw him away from where God was? No, you can't go anywhere where God isn't. God is everywhere. But what does it mean when it said, David said, "Cast me not away from thy presence"? Again, David said in Psalm 140, verse 3, "The upright shall dwell in thy presence." And in Psalm 16, David said, "In his presence is fullness of joy." Now, what does it mean when the Bible says the presence of the Lord? It is not talking about prayer. It is not talking about confession. It is not talking about thanksgiving. It is not even talking about worship, though you are in His presence, or can be, when you do all those things, but that's not what it's talking about. Let me illustrate what I mean. I preached in Memphis, Tennessee on a Monday night and a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, as I do practically every Wednesday morning, I caught a plane for O'Hare Field in Chicago. I had a Delta airline flight, and I had an upgrade ticket, a free upgrade, where I could upgrade to first class. And so I sat down in the first class where all first class people sit. And all the peons and poor white trash are back in the back. But anyway, I didn't pay for it. I got it free. And so I sat down on the first seat, you go on the plane, over here on the right, I sit down next to the window. This fellow sitting beside me, and I spoke to him, very nicely dressed, had on a suit, by the way, and I spoke to him. Well, I was flying back to go preach on chapel at the college that day at noon, and I was working on my college message, and I kept working, and so after I had said good morning to this fellow beside me, I said nothing else. Now, normally, I'll chat a few minutes. I don't like to occupy their time, but I'll chat a few minutes and try to make friends. But that particular day, I said nothing except good morning. And then the flight from Memphis, about an hour and a half from gate to gate, I guess. And we landed at O'Hare Field. The plane taxied up to the gate, and the door opened, and we started to leave. And the man beside me shocked the fire out of me. He said, "I love you, Dr. Hiles." Well, I rarely have men walk up to me as strangers and say, "I love you." Now, of course, ladies do all the time. But I couldn't believe it. I mean, that man just said, "I love you, Dr. Hiles." And I said, "Dumb question, do you know me?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, what brings you to Chicago?" He said, "I'm not going to Chicago. I'm staying on the plane." I said, "Why are you staying on the plane?" He said, "I'm going back to Memphis on this plane right now." Well, I said, "Pray tell me, why in the world did you get on the plane Memphis come to Chicago if you don't want to go to Chicago?" He said, "I love you, and you're my favorite preacher, and I've always wanted to spend some time with you." That fellow bought a ticket to Chicago, came all the way to Chicago, and by the way, it was worth it. You'd be amazed how much fun I can be when I'm quiet. But he didn't even get off the plane. He came all the way to Chicago, sat beside me all the way, flew back to Memphis, and he said, I just wanted to be with you. He had nothing to ask me. He never praised me. He never thanked me. He never confessed any sin to me, nor I to him. But he just sat there. That's all he did. He was just beside me in my presence. What does it mean, the presence of the Lord? When Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord, and Moses went from the presence of the Lord, and the children of Israel left the presence of the Lord, and David asked God not to cast him away from his presence, what does it mean? I think I can illustrate it again. Pastor school is over. It's Friday. We just closed pastor school. It's always an emotional time for me. We've worked for months and months to make it what it ought to be, and we've prayed for those people, especially the pastors, to go home and build great churches. And this building has been packed and jammed and overflowed for an entire week, morning, afternoon, and evening. All of a sudden, we say goodbye, and I walk out that door there. Pastor school is over. I just walked out that door. Tears are streaming down my cheeks. I go get in the car the fellows have for me at the door out here, and I drive. Now, where do I drive? I drive, I'm talking about years ago now, I drive to 121 167th Street in Calumet City. For that's where a little lady lives who's in her 90s, whom I called Mother. I ring the doorbell, and Mother pushes the little buzzer, and she knows. She says, "Who is it?" over the little speaker there, and I say, "This is Jack." She pushes the buzzer, and I walk up. I don't ask her for a thing. I don't even say anything. I can't say anything. I'm weeping uncontrollably. Mother's sitting there. I walk over, and I sit down on the floor and put my head in Mother's lap. I can't talk. I don't need to talk. I just need to be close to my mother. And I'll sit there for an hour, maybe, and say not one single word. I am in the presence of my mother. If I'd asked my mother for something, she wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as she did. I was just in her presence. Illustration. I was preaching in New Jersey, just across from Philadelphia, the other day. A pastor had contacted the pastor of the church, and this pastor lives 100 and 125 miles from where I was preaching. He said, "I want to talk to Dr. Hiles. Can I talk to him?" He said, "Could I take him home from the services one night or one day?"
And the pastor said, well, of course you can. So he said, how about Tuesday morning? I'll come up and hear him preach Tuesday morning, and I'll drive him back to his motel. I want to talk to Brother Hiles. Well, I just knew that there's some usual problem. His wife had left him, or he wanted to leave her, or he was upset because she hadn't left him. But I just didn't know. But I, you know, everywhere I go, there's a line of people waiting to talk to me, because, as you know, I can solve all the problems of the world. I wish Mr. Clinton would call me. But better still, go higher than that. I wish Hillary would call me. So I asked the pastor. I said, is our brother coming tomorrow morning? As he said, yes, he is. He said he wants to see you. So I preached on Tuesday morning. After it was over, I got in his car. Nice, beautiful, long car. And I got in his car. We chatted for a while. How's your wife? How are the children? How's your church doing? And how are you doing? And how many did you have last Sunday? And so forth. And the usual conversation between preachers. And we start drive out of the driveway there in the church parking lot. And I said, well, what can I do for you? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, what do you want to talk to me about? He said, nothing in particular. I said, now, wait a minute. You ask for an appointment, and you've driven probably 125 miles one way. In fact, that's all you can go, is one way at a time. And I said, you've driven 125 miles or so one way. What is the problem? He said, no problem. Well, I said, what do you need from me? He said, nothing. Well, what advice do you want to give me? He said, none. Well, what advice do you want from me? I gave him some anyhow. But what advice do you want from me? He said, none. He said, Dr. Hiles, I just wanted to be with you. 200 miles or more, round trip. We drove to my room in 15 minutes. He asked me for nothing. He did not praise me. He did not confess anything to me. He did not seek my advice or give my advice. For 15 minutes, we talked. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not a truck driver, to drive 200 miles, it takes 4 hours. If you're a truck driver, you can do it in an hour and a half. But if you're a sailor, you can't make it. You'll have a wreck before you get there. But, folks, we're talking about a four-hour drive. We're talking about 8 hours. Why? Just to be with me. For 22 years, as you know, I traveled with John Rice, probably the greatest Christian I've ever met. Dr. John Rice and I were buddies, traveled together. I have sat in airports right beside him just to watch him dictate letters. I've just sat there maybe an hour, didn't say a word, didn't ask him for anything, didn't try to advise him. I wouldn't advise him anyway. I don't want my picture in the sword of the Lord, young pastor goes awry. I wanted to be there. Didn't ask him anything, didn't say anything, sat there and watched him as he dictated letters. I've sat in motel rooms, and he'd be sitting in a chair, and I've watched him sleep, and he'd just fall off asleep, and I'd sit there for an hour. Didn't talk, didn't say anything, didn't ask for anything, just sat there for an hour. I've been on airplanes beside him. He'd be reading a book. I didn't need to talk to him. I just wanted to be with him. I didn't need to ask him for anything. I didn't need to converse with him. I didn't even need for him to teach me anything at that time. I'd sit there and watch him on the airplane. I do that a lot. I stand up while I preach and watch Brother Wardway sleep. I just want to be near him, that's all. You got that tie down Moab, didn't you? Well, it was sent from Moab to wherever you got it. But anyway. But I'm saying that's what the presence of the Lord is all about. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. What was it? From just being with him. God wants you sometime to come to him and quit begging. God wants you sometime to quit telling him all the sins you committed. First place, he already knows them. But don't misunderstand me. I confess. I pray every day. I spend a lot of time every day praying. Young folks, listen to me. Every day I spend time praying. Every day I confess Brother Wordway's sins. And it takes weeks to confess Brother Keith's sins of gluttony. And but I pray every day. And I praise God every day. And I thank God every day. And there are very few days when I don't get alone with God and have a little spell and just shout a while and praise Him for how good He is to me. But there are times I just want to be there. And that's the time that God loves. Just like I cried like a baby as I got off that Delta airline plane from Memphis, Tennessee, and realized that that man had spent hours and much money just to sit beside me. Ladies and gentlemen, your life would be enriched more than you ever would believe if you'd just be with God. Draw nigh unto God, the Bible said, and He will draw nigh unto thee. Didn't say you have to say anything. You don't have to shout. You don't have to have a spell. You don't have to beg Him for anything. Just get over there where He is. It was December 7, 1941, when I learned this. We were poor. The Depression had been gripping America for a long time, and now the war had started, or starting. We'd been through the 1930s and starved to death. December 7, 1941, I was going home from church. Didn't have television those days, and most folks couldn't afford radios. And as I walked home from church, just across the street and down the street a bit, extra, extra, read all about it. Japan attacks Pearl Harbor. Extra, extra, ships are sunk. Hundreds are killed. Extra, extra, America plunged into the war. Extra. My mother and I lived together. We were very poor. I wanted to take guitar lessons. Back in those days where I came from, playing the guitar was a prestige symbol. Some old good old gospel songs like Dust on the Bible, Dust on God's Holy Word. Deep songs of faith like that. Such songs I like to play as From this valley they say you are going. We will miss your bright eyes and sweet smile, for you take with you all of the sunshine that has brightened my pathway a while. Wipe your eyes, fellas. You're crying. I can see it. Write me a letter, send it by mail, send it in care of the Birmingham Chapel. But I couldn't afford it. Every boy I knew took guitar lessons. I couldn't afford it. All of my buddies joined the YMCA, cost $6 a year. My mother, my sister, and I got together and tried to figure out how we could pay $6 a year. $6 a year to join the YMCA, and we couldn't afford it. We were very, very poor. My daddy was gone. Now World War II had started, and I was scared. That Sunday night, the war was on. Would Japan drop? By the way, I was a teenage boy. I knew that probably I'd have to go. I wondered if my life would be shortened. Would I be able to live a normal life like everybody else? I mean, I was a teenager. We lived in the shadow of that big war. Thousands and thousands being killed, and we lived in the shadow of that war. December 7, 1941, Sunday night. I had no daddy's arms to go to. I had no protection from a happy home. Just mom and me. I tiptoed out the back door. Went around to the front, got on the sidewalk on Idaho Street, walked down to the corner of Idaho and Elmore, sat there on the curb. And I said something like this. I said, "Dear God, I don't know why I'm here. I don't have anything to ask for. I'm not here even to confess. I'm not even come to complain because we're poor. I'm not even come to ask you help because the war's on. I don't feel like shouting. And I probably won't say anything. But I sat there on that curb. And I said these words, almost word for word, and I think word for word. I said, "Dear God, I hope you don't mind me hanging around for a while. I just want to hang around. I just want to be with you for a while." That's what Jonah fled from. That's what Moses went from. That's what the Israelites went from. That's what David left and forfeited, the presence of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you are forfeiting one of the richest things of your life. You have no idea in this world what it'll mean to you. It's all busy. Let me buy one. I'll tell you what, honestly. I'm going to quit driving a car. I drive the speed limit. I'm going to be shot. I've never had so many words told me. I mean, you truck drivers have taught me a whole new vocabulary. You get right up there on the tail end of my little old Sundance Plymouth, and you start honking. And then you drive around and you make some gestures at me of some kind. In this old busy, I got to get there now, I got to get there now, I'll pass him and pass him and pass him and pass him so we can stop the same red light and be together after a while. And yet, there is an omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, that said, "Why don't you hang around me?" I'm not talking about prayer this morning. I'm not talking about confession of sin. The sweetest hours you'll ever spend in your life are those times when you just get alone and you say, "Dear God, I don't even know what I want. And I'm not happy enough to shout. And I'm not going to complain. I just need to hang around you for a while." When battles come, when I'm attacked, I flee to the presence of the Lord. I remember when Mama died. All that could die of her, we buried, had the services here, rushed out to our Memory Lane Cemetery, and I left the family at the cemetery and went to the airport and went to Louisville, Kentucky, and preached near Louisville in Ratcliffe, Kentucky. Family hadn't even gotten home to the cemetery hardly before I was on an airplane, and that night I preached with Mother's body freshly laid in her burial place. I preached that night, and went out the motel, outside the motel when I changed clothes and got some dry clothes on. I just walked all night, and I said, "Dear God, I don't have anything I want to say. In fact, I don't even feel like talking. I just want to hang around a while." And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And God says, "I like this. You're not praising me." Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just get out in the woods alone and just have a spell and say, "Well, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! My name is written in heaven. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. My sins are gone." But there's sometimes I just want to hang around. You Northerners don't know anything about this, because you can't stop up here. You'll freeze to death. But down in the South, we used to spit and whittle a lot. Spit and whittle. You just go down in the corner, sit down there on a bench on the corner, and sit there. Old Zeb's over here, and old Zeke's over here, and Zeb don't say nothing to Zeb, and Zeb don't say nothing to Zeke. Zeb chews tobacco and spits, and Zeke whittles, and you just sit there. You don't have time to do that up here. You truck drivers, God bless your sinful hearts. You're too busy trying to get there. Gotta get there. I'm not saying when, about a month ago, I was driving down the highway and this truck driver tailgated me. I was going exactly the speed limit. The rest of you can go to sleep. I got a few words I want to get out of my chest. This guy was that close to me in a minute. I said, blow your nose, you'll get more out of it. And finally, we got on a long stretch, and he passed me, and he was religious because he talked about God while he was passing me. Made a gesture at me. About 25 miles down the road, I saw him in the ditch. He turned over. No, I didn't laugh out loud. In Bay City, Michigan, I was preaching, and before I went to preach, I called our daughter Becky to find out how she's doing. She had some tests that day. I said, Puddin', what'd you find out from your doctor? And she started crying, and she said, I'm scared, Daddy. I'm scared. And she told me about the awful case of lupus that she had. Probably had it 5 years and didn't even know it. I went and preached that night. When it's all over, I didn't go to sleep. I just went outside. And outside the motel, there was a bench. And I just sat out there and I said, I don't plan to say anything much. I'm really not in talking mood. I'm not here to confess a sin. I'm not here to even praise you. I'm not really in a praising mood either. I'm not complaining either. You're God and you're in charge. I'm not complaining. And I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just want to be with you. You'd have to understand I don't have a pastor. I can't go to somebody and say, can I have an appointment? I can't write somebody and say, would you pray for me Thursday? Can you pray 2 hours for your man? I can't do that. And if I went to you and told you my problems, you wouldn't come to me and tell me yours. If you went to the doc, if you called, your patient came in tomorrow morning, and you said to him, pray for me, I'm having chest pains. He'd say, I'll pray for you, but I ain't going to stay here. I'm going to the doctor until I stay well. I mean, heart surgeon having chest pains. Doctor says, I don't feel very good today. I don't know what to do about it. Well, okay, bye-bye. But I want to tell you something. For all these 46 years I've been pastoring, I've tried to be in the presence of the Lord. Don't have anything much to say. I just, after a great victory, I like to get alone, just be with Him. And savor it. After we had our Pentecost Sundays, I just wanted to get alone. Just be there. Well, you say, what do? You just sat there. That's what you do. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes with your husband or your wife. You stop your fighting and just sit there for a while. Lay down your rolling pins and your frying pans and shut your big fat lip and talking to the women now. And just sit there a while. Just sit there. That's what it means. And I think He loves it. One day I heard Cindy on the telephone when she was home, teenage girl. She didn't know I heard her, but I heard her. She said to a friend on the phone, she said to a girlfriend, she said, I'm sorry, I can't come tonight. Well, I know, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And I kept on listening. Cindy, she said, but, no, I'm sorry, I just can't come. I'm going to stay home with Mama. Mama wasn't feeling well. And Mama didn't feel like talking. And that when Mama doesn't feel like talking, she is sick. In fact, call the priest and have him give the last rites. Cindy stayed home that night and just sat there. She didn't talk. Mama didn't talk. She just was there. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. Be still and know that I am God. And after the fire and the storm and the wind, the still, small voice. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, your life will be enriched more than anything else in this world would enrich it. If you'll come to God someday and just say, "Dear God, I don't even know what to ask for. And I don't feel good, but I have no complaint. And though I have sins I've committed, I can't even think about those right now. I just wanted to hang around. I just wanted to hang around." That's what it meant when it said Cain ran from the presence of the Lord. And that's what it meant when it said Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And that's what it meant when it said Moses went from the presence of the Lord. Ask a question, I'll be through. How long has it been since you've been in the presence of the Lord? Oh, I came to church. Didn't ask you about that. Oh, but I was sick and I begged him to make... Not talking about that. Well, I'd sinned and I begged him to forget. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when it's been a wonderful victory, a horrible defeat. When you're on the mountaintop shouting in the valley and you feel like you just can't face tomorrow. When you've been attacked, criticized. When your heart's been broken in two. When things come in your life, you just feel like you can't face tomorrow. You just draw nigh to Him. Don't want anything. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to confess anything. I don't feel like shouting. But if you don't mind, I just need to be close to you. I just need to be here. And into your life will come one of the riches of life. And you will know what it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine how I felt about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I got out of the car at my motel room after lunch that day, the service, and I saw that guy drive that big car away and realized he had taken all day long to come just to drive me home to the hotel. Nothing to ask me, no advice, no counsel, nothing. Nothing to say to me except no apology to make. He just wanted to drive me. We didn't say much. Can you imagine how good I felt? Can you imagine how I felt when I got off the airplane and that fellow had flown all the way from Memphis, Tennessee just to spend an hour and a half sitting beside a silent Jack Hiles? Can you imagine how God feels? He just wants you to like to be with Him, that's all. He wants you to enjoy His presence. He wants sometime more than a great rich daddy. He wants sometime more than a Aladdin lamp or a rabbit's foot. Sometime He just wants you to want to be in His presence. Our Heavenly Father, I love you. I think that's what I tell you most of all when I hang around you. I love you.